Scripture this morning for the sermon is taken from 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, and he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of man, but for the will of God. Our speaker today is Samuel Iacone, and we are pleased to have him with us.
Happy Sabbath. I'd like to say hi from my parents. They thoroughly enjoyed their visit here, and they said if they ever moved to Oregon, they'd come to this church. So you guys made a really good impression upon them, so I'd like to thank you for that. And Today, the title of my sermon is The Shaking, and when I first sat down here, not all the people had come into the sanctuary, so I thought, oh man, I hope the title didn't start the process a lot earlier than I intended. But thank you once again for inviting me to speak, and before we get started, let's have a word of prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us as we are in this time studying your word. We pray for the hearers, and also we pray for the speaker as well, Lord, because I'm a person that's imperfect. I have my flaws, and I have my defects in my character, Lord, but I pray that that does not prevent you from speaking to your people and speaking to me as well. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Anybody here a mechanic? There's no mechanics that are in this church? Everybody here, okay, we have a mechanic. Does anybody here know what a caliper bolt is? A caliper bolt. Anybody know what a caliper is? You guys know what a caliper is? And they say, you know what a caliper bolt is, right? Now, 3 weeks ago, I did not know what those things were. I married into a family. My father-in-law is really good with his hands, knows almost everything. And it seems like not even just the Hong, but the Otis. So, you know, they're my family too. They're all good with their hands. And Lindsay found the one person that wasn't good with their hands to marry. So, I don't know. I hope I bring something to the table. So, anyway, I don't know what a caliper bolt was 3 weeks ago. But I have to tell you a story because it kind of sets up the sermon. Can you guys hear me? Okay. So, I had accepted a position in Arizona. And I'll be teaching at a medical school, but they had me go out there for work to Phoenix, Arizona, and then I was going to fly back to Macon, Georgia for a wedding. So this is my second wedding in a month. And so Lindsay actually was going to meet me in Macon, Georgia. So she left on Friday around 3 o'clock, and she got in our car. And she drove all the way from North Carolina, Lumberton, North Carolina, to Macon, Georgia, which is about 6 hours. Now, Lindsay, not everything in that trip was perfect. That's why I asked you, do you know what a caliper bolt is? Because as Lindsay was about 5 minutes away from the hotel, she stopped to get off the exit, and the car just stopped. The mechanic's laughing, right? And when she actually started the car again, the car was shaking, hence the name of the title for the same sermon. The car was actually shaking, and it wouldn't move. It wouldn't go anywhere. And she was only actually 5 minutes away from her destination. Now, we praise the Lord that I was actually at the hotel, and I was actually able to get my wife and get her safely to the hotel. But literally, the car was not working. And now, the thing is, we found out the next night that there was actually a bolt missing on the caliper. Now, your caliper on your car holds the brake pads, correct? Am I correct on that? It holds the brake pads, and actually when you press in your brakes, you get the brake fluid, and that puts pressure on your rotor, and that helps stop the car, right? When we looked at the caliper, there was actually a bolt missing. Anybody understand the implications of what that means? So my wife drove 6 hours. Presumably, the bolt from her brake fell off, and if she had stopped, that's what we praise the Lord. My wife likes to stop and use the restroom when we go trips, but she didn't do that this time. She didn't stop for anything. I really believe that was God's mercy. And the car could have stopped. She could have braked. She could have lost her life. But the point being is that whenever we realize that bolt was missing, we realize that we had a serious problem. And that moving and that shaking in the car made me think about this question. As we talk about, you know, the end of time and where we're at, you know, just like my wife was in that car thinking everything was right for 6 hours, but when she got to that point to her destination where things were clearly wrong and very seriously wrong, my question is, is it possible that we could be attending church, we could be in the church, everything can be seeming to be going all right, but there's something that's missing. That perhaps there's a situation that comes into our life when we recognize that not everything is the way that it's supposed to be. Is there a caliper bolt missing somewhere that by only God's mercy and grace he's allowed to go on for so far, but when we get to that promised land, he can't allow that to keep on happening anymore? The problem that oftentimes that we have as Christians is that our connection with God is not as tight as it should be. Just like that bolt on that caliper, the mechanic forgot to tighten it. You can't just tighten it with your fingers. You got to tighten it, right? You got to tighten it, really, really tighten it to where it won't fall off. Consequently, our relationship with God as we come closer to the end of time needs to be getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Our connection with God needs to be becoming tighter, tighter, and tighter, because the time in which we're heading and the time in which we're living now, we may find ourselves falling short of that promised land because our relationship is not as tight as it should be. Now, remember, my wife was driving for 6 hours, and she didn't even know that there was a problem. And so I pray that today, as I preach this sermon, that we... as we look at God's word, that we are examining our hearts and we are examining our minds. And I just realized I forgot the most important part of the sermon here. So watch this. And let's go to Romans chapter 8. And when I refer to a verse, please say amen so I can know that we're on the same page. If you would like to go to Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, please. It's okay if you beat me. I have the notes, so I know where I'm going. Anybody else? Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. Amen? Okay. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we see here that Paul brings out the carnal mind, right? And what did you say about the carnal mind that I think should stick to our minds? Is that the carnal mind, it's enmity, right? It's not subject to the law of God. And you know what else that it says? Neither indeed can be. Okay? So the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. So today we're going to look at, so what is that spiritual mind? What does it mean to be spiritually minded? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. So bear with me as we try to build from the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. You guys get the amen. Okay. I'm going to read from verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Yeah. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the things which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And what I want to focus on today is not just talking theoretically about the mind of Christ, but praying that we are having the experience of the mind of Christ. You know, because the dangerous thing about human beings is that we can have the carnal mind and not even realize it. We can be in church, we could be doing all the things that we're supposed to do and not recognize that we're not being governed by the mind of Christ, but we're just being governed by the carnal mind. And it says here that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and that's one of the evidences that you recognize that you're experiencing the mind of Christ is that when the Holy Spirit is teaching you. So let's talk about our scripture that we pointed out here, which is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And that was the scripture I wanted to bring about. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. You guys get there, please say amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. So we see here, now this gives us evidence. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. You know how we talk about we have the armor of God? We're also instructed here that we're supposed to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. So, for in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, we had a very interesting discussion in Sabbath school class. I wish you guys were all there, but I'm pretty sure you had your own very interesting discussions. And we were talking about choice, and we were talking about sin. When we're experiencing the mind of Christ, and I know this is going to make us feel uncomfortable, because we also have the flesh, we're not going to be sinning. When we are experiencing that mind of Christ, we're going to be submitted to the will of God. The struggle in our lives, oftentimes, is we have that choice to make. There is all power in Christ to live a righteous life, to live even, I'll even say, a sinless life. But we have to make that choice to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And how do we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, you're asking? Actually, I have another question. So does anybody want to know what the mind of Christ looks like in the church? Has anybody thought about that? What does the mind of Christ look like in the church? Anybody want to know what the mind of Christ looks like in the church? Anybody want to see an example of what the mind of Christ can be in the church? Okay. Let's go to Matthew. Did I say mind of Christ? I'm sorry, the carnal mind. Anyone see what the carnal mind looks like in the church? We have an example with the mind of Christ. Anybody want to see what the mind of the carnal mind looks like in the church? You've all seen this before, but maybe we haven't thought about it in this way. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23. You know, it's interesting because before Jesus talks to this person, he talks about how you can judge a tree by the fruit, right? Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And this is how the carnal mind can manifest itself in the church. Jesus is speaking to this person, or he's referring to this person. He goes, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." So this is an individual, or these are people that are claiming to have a relationship with God. They're saying, they're acknowledging, you know how we talked about not just acknowledging God as our Savior, but our Lord and Savior? They're actually saying, Lord, right? Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But here's the thing, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Has anybody ever read that verse and thought, how is it that an individual that was doing all these things for God, all these wonderful things for God, I mean, is it a bad thing to prophesy for God? Is it a bad thing to cast out demons? How can an individual that was doing all these things for God, but at the same time not have a relationship with God? I'll tell you why. Because you can be doing all those things in the carnal mind. You know, Satan is so deceptive sometimes, because what can happen is that instead of letting the Holy Spirit to teach us in His Word, we can actually live our Christian experience based on our ideas of what we think God wants for us to do. Does anybody understand what I'm trying to say? Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, we can actually be living out our Christian life based on our ideas of what we think God has for us. Because we see that the spiritual mind is taught of the Holy Ghost. Is God alive or dead? He's alive. So that implies that there's a relationship that we can have with the Holy Spirit daily, to where He could teach us through His Word how we should live and how we should act. That's why, I'm kind of getting a little bit ahead of myself, it's very important every day to pray and study God's Word. Because what happens is, if I wake up without praying, without studying God's Word, but then I go about living my life, what am I depending upon in that day? Am I depending upon God's Word, or am I depending upon my ideas? My ideas. And the scary thing is that you can still do good things for other people. It's not a scary thing, but you can still do that. But while along you're doing all those things, you're not connected to Christ. I mean, let's be honest, right? There's a lot of organizations that are out there. We have ADRA. There's a lot of organizations that feed the poor, right? They like to take care of other people, what have you. But those organizations could be completely different from what God would have them to do. It's not to God's glory. So when we look at Matthew 7, be mindful that just because you're doing good things in the church, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a relationship with God. And let me tell you why. Because I'm not saying that we should not care about works, but recognize that, yes, we have works. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is the point I'm trying to get at here. This is why we need to have the mind of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Amen. Okay. So, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. So it's a gift of God, right? So our salvation is a gift of God. Not of works. So I can't look to my works and what I do as evidence that I have a relationship with God, lest any man should boast. Now, verse 10 is very critical here. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, that means that anytime, whenever we give our hearts to the Lord and we decide to follow Christ, God already has good works for us to walk in that He's preordained for every single one of us. Now, here's the clincher. Unless we are doing His will, we're not going to be walking in those works. Unless we know His will, we're not going to be walking in His work. And to make it even more clear, unless we have the Holy Spirit teaching us, we're not going to know what works to do and to walk in those works. Because think about it. If we're not walking in the works that Christ has preordained for us, then what are we doing? We're walking in our own works, aren't we? It's only in having a relationship with Christ can we fulfill the purpose that He has for our lives individually and those works that He has specifically. So Jesus Himself tells us that there's a way in which we can have a relationship with Him and have the Holy Spirit teaching us. Let's go to John chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. Because we're talking about the mind of Christ. How do we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ? How are we taught by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. So, you know, Judas, not Iscariot, he came to the Lord and he said, "How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Do you recognize that there are people that Christ has manifested? We could be in the same church and Christ has manifested himself to somebody in the church on one side and not to the other. Like, that's possible? That's possible to be in church. We talked about, we learned, the sermon's not about this, that the latter rain could be falling on somebody in the same church and somebody else not receiving it. So it's very possible that Christ could be manifesting himself to somebody in the church and you may not be manifesting it. But Jesus gives us a roadmap here for how we can have that relationship with him, how we can be experiencing his mind. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So we see here, we see a relationship between the Holy Ghost teaching us what Christ would have us to do. Now, when Christ was on the earth, was he doing his own will or was he doing the Father's will? So, and how did he know the Father's will? His relationship with him, what other agency? He was doing the Father's will through what? Through the Holy Spirit, right? He had a relationship with the Lord, and he was doing the Father's will through the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. Now, we're a Seventh-day Adventist church, right? We're in the Day of Atonement, right? The investigative judgment. So now Christ is in heaven in the most holy place. We know where we're headed. We're talking about the shaking. We are going to enter into a time that this world has never seen. It's such a shaking time that even if you read the Great Controversy, you know, oftentimes how we talk about how bad things are going to be, you know, they're not as bad as they're going to be. We're told by the servant of the Lord that the times are going to be so bad, she can't even describe them. You know? Now, the only way in which we're going to go through those times is that we are fully trusting in Jesus. But not just trusting in Jesus. We have his mind. And the reason I'm trying to bring this out here is this. So Jesus is in heaven, right? He has the experience of overcoming sin, right? He has the experience of bearing something that none of us can ever bear, which is not just his sins, but the sins of the world. So the thing is, the Holy Spirit functions to give us an experience through God's word to make it through that time. You see what I'm going to say? When it talks about how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no, we're not just talking about it in theoretical terms. Jesus is our life. We see that in Colossians. So in order for us to make it through that time, we're going to have to be so connected to Christ through the Holy Spirit that he can lead us through that time. He can teach us what to do. And where does it start? It starts what? In his word. You know, oftentimes, I've noticed as human beings, we get drawn to the most exciting things, the things that flash, a new theory, all these things. But we're told that we should be seeking primitive godliness, right, in these last times. And my sermon is not really too special, but more just for us to be trusting in God's word. And every day our trust should be deepening. Because we really need the Holy Spirit to be with us as we're going through this time. Because the worst thing to do is to think that we are fine in our Christian experience, and then 5 minutes before Christ comes back, the wheels and the brakes don't work anymore, and we're not moving. We don't want that to happen, do we? We don't want to be coming to the Lord saying, well, Lord, I pay tithe in the church. I became a vegetarian. I canceled my subscription to Netflix. Lord, I did all these things for you, but I didn't know you. Because I was operating and doing what God wanted, what my ideas of what God's word was, as opposed to the Holy Spirit actually teaching me what I should be doing. And we have to have that experience. Not my wife has to have that experience. I have to have that experience for myself. We're told that in Isaiah chapter 5, you guys can go there. I won't go there, but it talks about how the wicked man needs to forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So that lets me know that God is trying to speak to us through our thoughts. And that's why it's so important that we are spending time with God, seeking to know what God wants to speak to us and say to us. And I'm not just talking about in a general sense, but in a daily basis. Now, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all truth. And what is that truth? We were having a discussion yesterday. Well, is that truth meaning that I'm going to know everything? In terms of intellectually, everything? No, right? Am I going to know how it is to be like God? Or to be God? No. So the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all truth. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. And let's talk about that time. Romans chapter 5. So what's the Holy Spirit trying to teach us? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. When you guys get there, please say amen. Okay. Let's start from verse 3. We've heard this before. We're talking about the shaking. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Or is there anybody here that's afraid, a little bit afraid for the times to come? And you can be honest. Like, there's not times when you think, man, am I really going to be able to stand when the Sunday law comes? You know, am I really going to be able to stand up for Jesus when I'm being threatened with my family's life? You know, those worries do come into our minds, right? Those thoughts do come into our minds. And it's very easy for us to think, man, what's going to happen when we're not allowed to buy and sell? How are we going to take care of our family, right? And verse 3 goes, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. The Holy Spirit is trying to teach us these things. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I quoted this verse because it talks about what is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God. You see, even when Jesus was on the cross, his focus wasn't on himself. His focus was on bringing salvation to those that are around him. His focus was on making sure that his mother was taken care of. And truth be told, when the Holy Spirit is talking about leading us into the all truth in terms of understanding and knowing the character of God and experiencing the character of God in our life as much as we can, meaning keeping the commandments. But what I really mean that is God is love, so loving God as much as we can and loving man as much as we can. It talks about in Matthew chapter 24, it talks about the end of time, right? And it says that This gospel of the kingdom, which I believe is the three angels' message, because that's the everlasting gospel, will go out into the whole world, right? And then the end will come. But before that, it talks about how iniquity shall wax what? Iniquity will abound because of what? Because the love of many will what? Wax cold. So you see that iniquity is going to abound because the love of many will what? Wax cold. In that time, God's people, our love cannot wax cold. Our love cannot wax cold. I'm going to say that again. Our love cannot wax cold. Our love for God and our love for man must be sure. And you know, one of the greatest evidences that you know that you're experiencing the mind of Christ is that you're finding yourself loving people that you couldn't stand earlier. You're finding yourself having a compassion to want to do things for people before that wasn't there. Right? Those are good things. You know? So all these things that we've been given in terms of our health, our diet, our entertainment, all these things is that because God wants us to reflect His love perfectly. And the problem is that sometimes we get into this idea thinking that God just wants us to be, stop doing this and stop doing this just because He just wants us to stop doing this and stop doing that. Right? And that's how it's so dangerous, because the devil can get us serving in church for the idea of just serving in church and not remembering that we have a mission to actually reflect the love of God. Because if the Holy Spirit is in my heart and my mind, and I'm experiencing the mind of Christ and God is love, are people going to see that I love them? Right? It's not going to be a mystery, right? I don't know if brother so-and-so loves me. Right? People are going to see that in our lives. And the sins that we have in our lives, truth be told, those things, they get at the foundation of our ability to love God and love man supremely. They do. Because when we're selfish with our time, I can't spend it with my wife. I talked about this a little bit last time I started, right? When I don't spend time with God, I'm not learning about how to love other people. And if we're going to be ready for that shaking, is that we can't follow the rest of the world and become indifferent and become cold. If you think about it, it talks about how Stephen, in Daniel chapter 12, it talks about how the righteous will stand and the teachers, and it talks about how they're going to shine, all those teachers, right? Anybody remember that? Daniel chapter 12, verses 1. Remember when Stephen was stoned, it talked about how his face shone like an angel. His face shone like an angel. And what did he do for those people that were stoning him? Did he get mad? Did he get angry? No, he was praying for them. And we were talking about experiencing the mind of Christ. We need to get to that point. We need to get to that point in our walk to where our love for God and our love for man becomes our singular focus in our lives. It's interesting that we are actually sealed by the Holy Ghost as well, right? Where does the Holy Ghost seal us? In our minds, right? So the Holy Spirit is doing a work in our mind to seal us, to get us ready for that time. And what is He doing? He's doing it when before, in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, He's doing it before the Great Tribulation. So that work of developing the mind of Christ through study, through prayer, needs to be happening now. You know, we can't just wait till the Sunday law and say, okay, well, I guess I need to get serious about this. God has given us opportunities every day to manifest the love of God to people and to grow closer to Him. And we have to take these opportunities, because it says in Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord when He can be found. There's going to be a time when if we didn't have a relationship with God now, we're not going to be able to have one. Not a saving relationship. So, let me end with Hebrews chapter 12. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, to talk about the work of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Be patient with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Talking about the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. Having made unto us the mystery of His will. You know, it's interesting. Remember that person, only those people that are doing God's will are going to be those that enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? And we see here Paul says that it's a mystery. And it is a mystery unless we have the Holy Spirit teaching us, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should know, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So after we receive the word of God, we will be sealed, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of glory. As we accept God's word, we are accepting His Holy Spirit. And as we accept His Holy Spirit, we are doing His will. And we didn't have to be afraid of if we know Christ or not. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And this is the point I really want to get to, is Hebrews chapter 12, he's speaking to all of us here. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape. If we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. As of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your opportunity for us to peruse your word today. Lord, I pray that we, as we leave this place, examine ourselves, examine our walk with you, Lord. And I pray that we are trusting in your word, in your Holy Spirit teaching us, as opposed to our own ideas of what a relationship with Christ looks like. Lord, lead us and guide us in your way. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.